brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
It is Thursday, the 14th day of April, 2011. I'm Alex Jones, your host. We're going to be here live as we are weekdays, 11 to 2 p.m. Central. Live back Sundays, 4 to 6 p.m. as well, because there's so much news. 5 days a week of coverage is not enough. And, of course, we have 24-hour-a-day coverage of all the important global developments at Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. Incredible economic news, obviously, with the budget, with the deficits, with what's happening to commodities, with Obama's official campaign launch speech that he gave last night, calling for massive tax increases and gutting out of the tax code many of the most important write-offs that people have. It is just absolutely terrible news, and it's what we knew was coming. And the Republicans are pushing flat taxes, fair taxes, you know, national sales taxes, VATs, as a way to get rid of the income tax. But the globalists, for over a decade, out of the IMF and the World Bank, have always said they were going to move to this globally, and they're still going to have an income tax. It's just going to be called the Social Security tax. So they'll cut the income taxes after they get this new system in. First, they're going to jack them up, then make everybody angry, then sell a lowering of the income tax, a changing of the name. The IRS isn't going anywhere. And then they'll lay a new VAT and sales tax on top of it, and then jack up the income tax again. That's always been the plan, and that's the stated plan in the white papers, not the stuff they tell the general public on the nightly news, and we are in deep, deep trouble. Also, CNBC reporting gold will reach $1,600 an ounce in 2011. Also, Congress is saying Goldman Sachs lied to them. The budget deal turns out to be a gigantic fraud, as we told you 2 days ago. Now the press is reporting on the $38 billion in cuts, were cuts that were already agreed upon last year, and does nothing to deal with the $1,000-plus trillion the private central banks have gotten our nation and the rest of the nations of the world that are under globalist control. That's almost all of them to sign on to. So that is coming up. Also, the TSA is running around saying that, first they've been caught in a big lie, saying that late last year that they would not grope children under 8. And then they said children under 12, and then now they're still groping them. And they're saying, well, we have to because Al-Qaeda will use our social morals to attack us. I mean, this is all about switching off the thinking process. Even if you believe that Al-Qaeda attacked us along with the Keebler Elves on 9/11 and could carry out that attack, then you would profile. You would profile Muslims if you believe that fairy tale. But a little blonde-haired six-year-old girl with her doctor father and mother with a bunch of other children, or old ladies on walkers military personnel. I mean, this is a joke. This is a joke. It's about everybody being taught that you're all criminals, you're all suspects, you're guilty until we fully enslave you. Not guilty until proven innocent, guilty until we somehow suck off of you and reduce you down to absolute slaves. Also, 4 years ago, and then again last month, the State Department issued a travel alert to Mexico, as if we need them to tell us it's deadly dangerous, even in the resort areas that had previously been safer. And they said, yes, Mexican drug cartels are targeting Americans. Well, there was a backlash by Felipe Calderon through diplomatic circles. So yesterday, they rescinded that warning. So that's like if you have a tornado coming down the highway towards you and the news tells you that there's not a tornado. Do you listen to the news and just go ahead and drive into the tornado? I mean, I don't need the State Department to tell me what's going on in Mexico. We've known about the mass graves being found on a weekly basis for years, the rocket attacks, the mass murders, all of it. I mean, I don't need the State Department to tell me about it. But that's coming up as well. See, it's politically incorrect to criticize the failed narco-terror state that is Mexico, that it's imploding into complete and absolute bedlam. I will be going over that as well. Stay with us.
Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show, because there's a war on for your mind.
We are live, my friends. Thank you for joining us. It is Thursday, the 14th day of April, 2011, and we have Mark Weisbrot joining us, who's going to be breaking down in the middle of the next hour the big headlines we've seen at the Drudge Report and at the Associated Press, Reuters, everywhere, about the BRIC group of nations, China and others, openly announcing they want an end to the dollar as the world reserve currency, and that they do not agree with the hegemonic new wars being expanded across the Middle East through the third-party shills that are the rebels, centered in and around, of course, Libya. He's going to be joining us. He's the co-director of the Center for Economic and Policy Research, going over the big global announcements that the East especially wants to go away from the dollar. Meanwhile, at the same time, we have, of course, last weekend in New Hampshire, the meeting of many of the private banking heads and government officials in a quasi-public-private, some of the meetings were private, many of the meetings were public, with George Soros for Bretton Woods II, saying the dollar is already not the world reserve currency and is being totally phased out in a process. This is a obviously huge economic development that we are watching unfold, and it will cause unbelievable pain economically here in the United States. That's pretty much the only major commodity the United States had left, other than military weapons and propaganda, is the dollar. And this will cause commodity prices to go up, gold, silver, oil, transportation based on petrochemicals will go up. All basic goods will go up. People on fixed incomes will be decimated by this. People that have savings will be absolutely raped by this situation. And it's just calmly being reported. And I was driving in, listening to news radio this morning, and some local talk show hosts on 590 AM were taking calls about the polls that are out, depending on which poll you look at, showing that 50-plus percent of Americans have been sold on the fraud that we can fix the deficit by raising taxes, quote, on the rich. And that means individuals making $125,000 a year, couples making more than $250,000 a year. That's not rich, ladies and gentlemen. That's lower middle class, and it'll get worse and worse as the dollar devaluation accelerates. We may end up in 4 or 5 years having janitors being paid $100,000 a year, and it'll be the equivalent of $20,000 a day as this inflation begins to kick off. And many economists are pointing this out. The head of Walmart is saying inflation by the end of the year is going to, quote, be serious. But we see the federal government saying everything's fine. But listening to people call in, I heard quite a few of them say, look, we got the biggest and the best military in the world. We got the money printing machines. We can do whatever we want. Well, see, we don't run the military. We don't run the private Federal Reserve. We don't get the spoils. We don't control the private printing presses. The private Federal Reserve orders the Treasury to print the money, and less than 2% of actual physical paper is out there for the digital money that the private Federal Reserve issues, 97-plus percent. And so there's this attitude by people, especially who work for government or who are in the military, because the host asked him, are you in the military? And he's like, you bet I am. I'm an officer. And you could tell by his voice that he was an African-American. So here's a guy that thinks he's running the show, just like most yuppies. He's in the military, he's an officer, and he thinks it's great to print money. He thinks it's great to have the biggest military in the world. And what's funny is I heard a very similar caller on the same Well, I tell you, I'm getting too busy these days. I'm getting so busy, I'm always forgetting to turn my phone off. I'm just going to talk to him. I'm on the air. I got to go. there's just too much news here in front of me as well. I barely even got in here on time today. I get ready at home. There is such incredible naivete out there by people, and they feel like they're part of the system. I mean, here's a black guy calling into a radio show saying, America's number one, we got the biggest military, and we control the printing presses. And I heard a guy who sounded almost like the same person hours earlier on the same station saying basically the same thing. And I hear that similar sentiment. It's like this fake, delusional exuberance that this is our military, this is our government, we're winners if we're part of it. Listen, they do control the printing presses, the foreign offshore banks. They are devaluing our currency. It's a tax on your purchasing power, your savings. This military is run by foreign offshore corporations that control our federal government like a vending machine. They put in pennies, if you compare what they get back, and million-dollar bills come out. The globalists will spend a couple hundred thousand on one politician a year in the House, and that committee chairman will deliver them deals worth tens of billions in profit. It's corporate welfare. And all I hear is debates about cutting welfare, cutting Social Security, cutting entitlements, and that's going to fix the deficit. I hear that from the Republicans. And then from the Democrats, I hear tax the rich, that's going to fix it. And both of those statements are frauds on their face. You could cut all of the entitlements, and as long as the government has still fraudulently signed us on to the $1.5 quadrillion in derivatives that we've now signed on to, our government has said, yes, we owe this, even though it's not our debts predominantly, then nothing else you do will fix it. That's the big black hole that we're talking about here, and they're discussing just tiny little issues that are on the table. Look, it's very, very simple for folks that don't get it. If you read the news every day, if you track even mainline news, in the last 2 years, building up to the point we're now entering, the period we're now entering, you see constant statements by the head of the Central Bank of the EU, the head of the Central Bank of England, the head of the Central Bank of the United States, the head of the Treasury, all their minions and pundits and CNBC talking heads and Bloomberg talking heads and Goldman Sachs head and JP Morgan head, all they come out and say is, yes, we need to raise taxes on the rich to pay down the deficit. But the deficit and what they've signed us on to is a blank check to the private megabanks. And so you see the private Federal Reserve at colleges, at Rotary clubs, at influential groups all over the country constantly. And it was in the news a few years ago. They recruited thousands of public speakers on top of their PR people to go out and talk to high schools, colleges, everybody, and explain how great the Federal Reserve is and that we need tax increases in America to save America and pay off the deficit. But then most of the money that's paid in is in banker payoffs, banker robberies that they call bailouts, and goes offshore. And for many years, we can't even find where the money's going. Now, because of private lawsuits, some of it's come out, and it's hundreds and hundreds of billions to the European Central Bank and hundreds of billions to the British Private Central Bank and hundreds of billions to the Chinese and billions to Gaddafi and billions to MSNBC and GE. And so most of the money isn't going to some welfare mom who is, you know, got five welfare checks coming in for five kids and who drives around in a BMW. And there's some truth to that stereotype. Some of that's going on. But the issue is, if you get rid of her welfare checks, it is not even going to put a dent. It is not even going to scratch the surface. I say get rid of it. Great. I mean, I've seen the numbers that more than two-thirds of illegal aliens, you bet the husband's out there working hard on a highway job or at a restaurant or cutting people's yards and hard working, but mama is at home having kids and every one of them's going on welfare. And daddy's paid off the books in cash. And sure, he pays sales taxes and he pays taxes when he gets a cell phone, but he isn't paying income taxes to the private Federal Reserve. But the globalists then leave them alone because they want to merge the countries. They want to drive down the wages. They want to bring in political groups that won't get into the melting pot, who won't assimilate, who can be played as a political tool because they're on welfare. So sure, I'm all for kicking the welfare queens off their welfare. By the way, I've now discovered in Texas and many other states, they recruit many of the CPS workers and many of the other government workers who go out then and feed on everybody else and all the bureaucrats from people who were on welfare. They take them and then go, we got more government programs. We're going to send you to community college. You're going to get a CPS degree. You're going to get a bureaucrat degree. I've been confirming, running into these people, reading news reports, talking to friends, that that's who comes to your door is some welfare queen who's now off welfare but got a government job, and she's going to take your kids. I mean, it's very dangerous. They're building just an army of miscreants. I'm going to try to get into it all. I'm just so upset about Obama's speech right now, and I'm just so sick of the bankers. I can't stand it.
The Genesis Communications Radio Network proudly presents The Alex Jones Show. Because there's a war on for your mind.
So Obama wants to cut back on tax returns. So the government just trains you to give them your money and then they give it back to you like they're your mommy. He wants to cut back on the tax credit you get for your mortgage deduction. He wants to raise taxes on people making over $125,000 a year individually or a quarter million, $250,000 in couples. And I kept hearing yesterday evening and today all over talk radio, all over CNN, all over Fox, just scanning through the XM dial, listening to radio and TV programs that are on XM and reading online that, wow, 57% of Americans agree that we should up taxes on the rich. So this morning I actually got the poll they were quoting, the AP-GFK poll. Are your taxes fair? Most say yes. And then when I went over it, it said 54% believe their tax bills are either somewhat fair or very fair, compared with 46% who say they are unfair. So I can't find this 57 number I keep seeing all over the news. This says 54, but then it goes on. Should taxes be raised to eat into the huge federal deficits? Among the public, 62% say they favor cutting government services to sop up the red ink. Just 29% say raise taxes. But listening to the news, they keep saying 57%, I know you've heard it, support cutting the deficit by raising taxes. But this says only 29%. Then you read deeper into the poll, and it says those above 60, those above 65, that they are the ones that want to raise taxes. And that shows their complete ignorance. Look, here's the issue for anybody you're arguing with about this. If the private Federal Reserve is out there lobbying that the way to fix our economy is to raise taxes, and we've got former Fed chief Alan Greenspan who helped get rid of Glass-Steagall and get us into all this trouble, and all these big banking heads of Goldman Sachs and the rest of them keep telling us the answer is to raise your taxes. That will fix America. There's no discussion about auditing the Fed, no discussion about saying, no, we're not signing on to these trillions and trillions of dollars of derivatives debts that the globalists have gotten Greece and Portugal and Ireland and the U.S. and England to sign on to. Iceland just said no after a year-long battle. So the government's going to, quote, sue Iceland. The British government is. But it's come out in Iceland's news that almost all the debt, what was it last time I looked, over 90% is owed by the private central bank. That itself is a consortium of other private banks. The people, the 300-something thousand that live in Iceland, mainly in the capital of Reykjavik, they don't owe it. Just like they admitted a few months ago in Ireland. Their own central bank head said, well, this really isn't our debt, but it's good to have foreign banks run Ireland. That was a quote in the BBC. Just bizarre in-your-face statements like, radiation's good for you. The people of Fukushima ought to be thankful, Ann Coulter says. Just bizarre, in-your-face things that don't even make sense to break your will, to condition you to accept their crazy activities. They know what they're doing. It's like Karl Rove saying, we control reality. Doesn't matter if what we say is true. We say it's true, so it is. They're just acclimating us to accept that. And here's another headline from The Hill. Poll, majority okay with tax bill. And you know why? Around 51% and growing of the American people pay no federal income tax. Now you hear this lie, though, that 51% of Americans don't pay any taxes. That's a fraud. You pay taxes that are added onto your cell bill. You pay it on your water, your trash pickup, on the food you buy, sales taxes. You pay taxes on all of the expenses that are added on by companies and services. You pay taxes in your dollar being devalued and your purchasing power. You pay taxes on property tax. Even if you live in an apartment, that property tax is added on to your bill. You pay hundreds of taxes. You have the sin taxes that target the poor, cigarettes, alcohol, gas taxes. The poorest Americans pay those growing gas taxes. All of this is going on. All of this is happening. And so you hear this. See, this is what's frustrating. There's such a tissue of lies that how do you even educate people on how they're being lied to when there's so many layers of lies? It's true that 51% don't pay any income tax to the private Federal Reserve that we didn't have till 1913, that people think the country runs off of, and it goes to nothing but interest on the debt, not congressional debt, not government debt, debt that's created when a dollar is created, a dollar of debt's created. Just to have money, debt's created. That's why it's impossible to ever pay back. And they lie about exactly how big the debts are. I'm going to get into all that because there's headlines about $3 trillion that the banks owe and their debt. It's $1.5 quadrillion conservatively. And it makes my head hurt. We are back live, my friends. Thank you for joining us. Look, the problem is, to boil it down, is that we're being told cut government, raise taxes, that is going to be the way that we're going to fix the economy. Ladies and gentlemen, I was looking at some of the numbers last night, even in the Wall Street Journal, that in 1999, the U.S. government had half the budget size that it has now. And who can say that our country was not better off then financially? The taxes were lower. There were more jobs. NAFTA and GATT hadn't had a chance yet to deindustrialize our country. And so now the budget is double what it was just 11, 12 years ago. And the solution is a $38 billion cut in the budget that was just leavings or crumbs sitting on the table that hadn't been spent in last year's budget. That's the Republican and Democrats' idea of cutting the budget. And they're saying, let's kick welfare moms off their welfare, when even the Washington Post last year reported $640 plus trillion in global derivatives, with the United States signed on to, quote, bail out the banks for more than 60% of it. So let's just say it's the lower number of 600 plus trillion that the Washington Post reported on, and not what other economists have argued about here on air, that it's over 1,000 trillion, some over 1.5 quadrillion. So that's the issue. And they're maneuvering us now into all of these huge tax increases. And you've got the mega rich out there lobbying for higher taxes through their different George Soros media organizations. They are out there pushing everyone, pushing the working class to believe that the middle class is the elite that has basically engineered the crisis we're in so that the ultra-rich can scapegoat them and then raise taxes on the middle class. And you do the math, it's very simple. It will do nothing to reduce these deficits. It will only put the economy into more of a free-fall stall. So it's a very simple equation. The big mega banks are all over the news, on record for years, saying raise taxes, raise taxes, raise taxes, raise taxes on the rich. And they say that's somebody making $125,000 a year individually or $250,000 in a couple. And why is that? Because General Electric and Google and the rest of the Fortune 100 pay almost no taxes. Then they say, well, our employees and our CEOs and our executives pay taxes if they're part of the U.S. division. Most of them are part of these international divisions and are based in countries with almost no corporate tax, no income tax. You know, if you do the math and look at it, China has much lower taxes than the U.S. Of course, because they are incentivizing the factories and the jobs and the brains to travel there, to move there. I mean, I know so many Americans that have multiple degrees who've left America to go live in China, to go live in India, to go live in Mexico at the factories because the jobs aren't here. And the very same multinational corporations that have moved overseas were the ones that lobbied for the regulations to be jacked up here and to be lowered in other countries. They're the ones that got the tax incentives to move overseas. They're the ones that push to get the animal ID and the premises ID to shut down the small farms and ranches, and then they get waivers for their big agribusiness. It's very simple. Are we hearing about getting rid of the repeal of Glass-Steagall and bringing Glass-Steagall back to stop the derivatives? They're creating more of them now, counterfeit money that we've now been forced to sign on to. Are we hearing anything about dollar devaluation, a tax on everyone? Are we hearing anything about the private Federal Reserve? Are we hearing anything about the trillions of dollars secretly pumped out overseas and to domestic corporations here in the U.S.? Your tax money going to hundreds of newspapers, scores of TV stations, multiple TV networks, think tanks, propaganda groups. It's incredible. It is a completely unlevel playing field designed for the globalist to consolidate all of the markets, all of the industries, the entire economy. And I know I keep hammering on this and hammering on it because I listen to talk radio, I listen to liberals, conservatives, all of them, and none of them get any of it. And even mainline libertarians are like, good, kick all the welfare queens off their welfare. Get rid of Social Security. It's a fraud to begin with. And yeah, it is a fraud, but it's all people've got. And if you got rid of it, it wouldn't fix the problem. Only getting rid of the Federal Reserve, only slashing taxes across the board, only getting rid of the income tax, which was created the same year as the Federal Reserve and is in the Communist Manifesto, written by the bankers, and sold as the people's rebellion. Just like today, George Soros-funded groups on record go take over Bank of America, and they don't go in there and say, arrest the bankers, get rid of the Federal Reserve. They say, raise taxes on the rich. But then the rich are a person making $125,000 a year. That's who they're talking about. Not raise taxes on George Soros, who's back in the news saying raise taxes and we could absorb more debt. Because he sits above those rules. He's part of the corporate power structure that's exempt from almost all of the taxes. He's part of the corporate power structure that's allowed to create fake derivatives. They take the trillions in banker bailout money that they get interest-free, then they go out and loan it for 5%, 10%, 15, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60. Now some of the yearly interest rates are 79.9%. But they don't just stop there. Loaning out to the general public is a small part of their business. That's why many big banks are saying, we're just closing having public accounts. We don't even want your money. You're like, you don't want my money? Okay, we'll take it, but we'll give you half a percentage point because we don't even care. We don't need it. You know why they don't need it? Because they can take those trillions in banker bailout money and they can, for every dollar they get, loan out 10. And that's under the previous pre-1999, pre-Glass-Steagall repeal. After that, they can take a dollar and they can leverage it out thousands of times, according to the economists we've interviewed and talked to. And I mean people like Professor Black, the former top federal regulator. He said there's thousands of times they can leverage it. Thousands of times. $1, thousands of dollars. So when you see headlines about $3.3 trillion that the banks are in debt with and they need more money, ladies and gentlemen, the banks created those derivatives to take over society. When those derivatives weren't known to be fraudulent, they were able to buy up much of the society, much of the infrastructure with it. And now they hold the whole infrastructure hostage because they have infected every financial instrument, every financial system with the derivatives that are hundreds of times bigger than all the real assets in the world. And so they have successfully Siamese twinned all of their fraud into the pension funds, into Social Security, into the police pensions, the firemen pensions. They've done it. They've got us right where they want us, totally dependent on them. It's like having a giant tumor that is half your heart. And if they remove the tumor, you don't have a heart anymore and you die. That's what they've done. And everything they do is about dependence. Everything they do is about you having to get permission from them to do anything. You got to get a license to have a garden in your backyard. You got to not even get permission. You're not allowed to make your children's lunches and send them into the public school. Your children aren't allowed to play dodgeball. Again, just everything is prisoner training. And I know I've been ranting about this. It's just, I'm going to get more into it later after our guests leave us. And I want to get into Obama's speech as well. Here's some of the other financial news that I was mentioning. And I said it incorrectly. Banks face $3.6 trillion, not $3.3 trillion. Wall of debt, IMF says. And the IMF is posing as our savior, the consortium internationally, four groups like the Federal Reserve, the receivership arm, and they're now posing as the experts, telling us about the problems they created and saying the banks need trillions of dollars or there could be a collapse and a default globally tied into governmental currencies and private stocks if we don't prop them up. Well, what did they ask for just 3-4 months ago at Davos? They said, we want $100 trillion. We want to issue, and we want your governments to sign on to give it value, promising your tax money as the backer of it. This isn't backed by gold. This is backed by us, the taxpayers. That's the collateral. It's you. It's me. It's all of us. They want $100 trillion. What will they do with $100 trillion? Well, they'll leverage it. And nobody got rid of the repeal of Glass-Steagall. Nobody brought Glass-Steagall back, and they got rid of similar laws in every country. What are they going to do with that? They're going to leverage it to the infinity. But what is 10 times $100 trillion? It's one quadrillion. Under the old fractional reserve banking system, they want one quadrillion backed up by you, the taxpayer, and they're telling us about a limousine liberal. They're telling us about a welfare queen. They're telling us, notice though, in all the Republican attacks and even Democrats calling for cutting welfare, nobody's talking about taking the precious illegal aliens' welfare. More than 2/3 on it. See, that's how the illegal aliens can work for less, because they're getting the supplement of the welfare and they get paid under the table. Just like all these good old boys that don't understand economics and they say, I'm glad we've got the biggest prison population, 4 million in the world. I'm glad that tens of millions of Americans have criminal records because we're law and order. Oh, really? You're glad that there's a 98% federal conviction rate? They're convicting innocent people? Oh, you're glad that there are hundreds and hundreds of private prisons doing call centers, furniture, license plates, electronics, on average for 25 cents an hour. They'll have the factory right next door, just like they do in China, and they'll bus over the prisoners every day to work 8 hours in a factory, getting 25 cents an hour. You still don't get what I'm saying if you're a new listener. You're competing against the illegal aliens that'll work for half, and the illegal aliens are competing against people that work for 25 cents an hour. What is that over 8 hours? Can you do the math? What's 8 times 25 cents? Can you do the math? They're working for $2 a day. And you're like, good, I can work. Oh, yeah, I like it. You don't know what you're doing, idiot. You're a moron. And you're like, well, what about I hear about violent criminals being released? Why they let a murderer go after 3 years? Because they've got actuaries. This is a business. They release the violent offenders to menace the public, and they keep the peaceful pothead in there for 5 years. Because the peaceful pothead is going to be a better worker. Today I almost didn't do the show. Because I don't like to blow up and yell and scream because it exhausts me and it gives me a headache. You know, when I yell and scream and blow up, folks, that's real. I mean, I personally feel like throwing my coffee cup through the window. I feel like tumping this whole desk over. And I feel like just trying to run away somewhere. Because I got to sit here and study this and look at it and know what the bankers are doing and know their whole program and understand how evil it is and understand how wicked they are and know how it's all premeditated in their own admissions. And then I've got to hear how still stupid the public is when I read the editorials and I listen to callers to talk radio on other people's shows. They don't have a hope of a prayer if they don't get religion and wake up to the New World Order. I mean, we are far beyond anything I ever imagined. And this is just the beginning. I almost turned around today and told him to do a rebroadcast. And I rarely get in this type of nasty mood. But, I mean, I am just... I'm so sick of watching people being conned. I'm so sick of watching people having no inkling of how the global system works, no geopolitical understanding. They don't even know who the three branches of government are. They don't even know what the Bill of Rights and Constitution is. They've been deliberately dumbed down by television and the culture and the public schools, and we're multi-generations into the dumbing down now where we are in so much trouble, and then those of us that are awake are listed in Homeland Security training memos and documents that are constantly being leaked, where the government is preparing to release the military and the police against us. We are a nation of spoil brat children. Mentally. Doesn't mean a lot of Americans don't work hard. And I mean, it's just like the reactors blowing up a month ago in giant mushroom clouds and fuel rods spraying. And I went and pulled up online to make sure I was right what a fuel rod looks like, that particular design. And then I blew up the video here at the office of the explosions, and I could see the fuel rods in the air. And I said 4 weeks ago, plus when the reactor 3 blew up, I said, those are fuel rods. And then nuclear workers called in and said, yes, they are. And then 3 weeks later, the New York Times said, yes, the Japanese government now admits fuel rods were blown up to a mile away. And I had to get the emails and the calls, and I'm a fearmonger, and I'm saying fuel rods were blown everywhere. I went and looked up the design. I went and looked up the fact that they were storing them on top of the facility, and I could see the stinking things blowing up into the air 4,000 feet. And the radiation settling in across the United States, they're now reporting today in mainstream Japanese TV stations that, yes, much of Japan is now going to be uninhabitable. Told you that a month ago. And it's not because I'm smart, folks. That's what's so frustrating about this. I mean, normal people, if they saw giant reactors blowing up and we're downwind in the U.S. and I have children, a normal American, a normal human would go with the internet, all the knowledge of the world in front of us, and look up a General Electric Mark 1 MOX reactor. And I went and looked up the other General Electric reactor. And I went and looked up the other Japanese reactors. And I went and looked at their design. And I went and looked at articles. And I went and looked at locals 2 years ago protesting. They're storing a 644,000 fuel rods there. And I went and looked up what that particular fuel rod package looked like. And I blew the video up. And there are the stinking fuel rods. I mean, I'm not smart, folks. I got a family downwind from this. And I spent days researching it so I could tell you what was happening. I know about the Federal Reserve, okay? I know about what sodium fluoride does to you. I know they're putting uranium in our water here to sterilize us. I know the government runs giant child kidnapping rings. Okay? It's all documented. I know we're in trouble. I know how bad it is. And I'm sick of people living in denial out there. Even you so-called people that claim you're patriots or whatever. You're either COINTELPRO, some of you out there, or you're just jealous that somebody actually works and has the truth. Meanwhile, I'm just trying to survive and warn people. We don't have any future if we don't stop these people. Five giant reactors blew up and nobody cares. About a lucky man who made the grave. The radiation just keeps floating over in clouds. And though the news was wrong, we have top scientists on saying it'll massively increase cancers, but so what? Our government isn't even saying don't drink the milk, don't eat the produce now. But in Europe, they're saying, yeah, we can't eat the milk and produce for at least 6 months. Europe's further downrange. See, the average man out there, not a regular listener who cares about liberty, but a new listener's like, this guy's a kook. I'm not going to go study nuclear reactors. I'm not going to go look at the design of what's blown up. I don't care if I'm downwind. I can't see it. This guy's a weirdo that he would spend day after day in the aggregate studying exactly what happened, getting the experts on to confer with them. I'm a weirdo because I've studied GMO cross-species crops that are designed to cause cancer and infertility. On record, red-handed. How many scientists have I interviewed who are at these big companies and go, this is sterilizing all the mice? And they're like, a little added benefit. Don't worry about that part of the genome change. And they're like, but this is going to sterilize people. There are too many people. I mean, we've had these folks from these research laboratories on who have witnessed it. The UN has been caught. Did you hear me earlier say that radioactive isotopes are added to almost every municipal water supply? What, 71% of the U.S. cities and counties, water districts? I mean, yeah, that's a wild, insane-sounding statement. Totally true. What are we going to do about it? The answer is, most of you, absolutely nothing. You're going to sit there and say, look at the bad man. Look at the crazy man. You're not going to go look and see if those fuel rods got thrown a mile away. Admitted 3.5 weeks after I told you. You're not going to go look and see if they're putting radioactive isotopes in your water. Because it couldn't be true. Because if it was true, well, then something needs to be done about it. We better find out why they're doing this, huh? We better find out why, if you go to the city council and bring this up, even with news articles about it, they laugh at you. See, that's the answer for everything in America now, is just laugh at it. It's just funny. Why do you care so much, Alex? You know, I get this statement all the time. You must be paranoid. So if I walk outside, because my dog's barking at 2 a.m., and my neighbor's house is on fire. This actually happened when I was about 10 years old. Parents wake me up. We go outside, neighbor's house on fire, flame shooting out. And we call the fire department. Would that be paranoid? If I see giant reactors blowing sky high with mushroom clouds floating towards our West Coast and I go do research and analyze what's happening accurately for you, I'm the bad man? And I'm the bad man because we told you 8 years ago what the TSA was going to metastasize into because I saw Homeland Security Ed Ridge say what they would do. And so I guess I deserve to have the ADL demonizing me and the Southern Poverty Law Center and the federal government and George Soros. I guess in the land of insane people, the sane are insane. I'd be like going back to 1941 Germany and trying to tell Germans that rounding people up and putting them in camps was wrong. They'd arrest me in a second because I'd be crazy. And that's all it is today. Like, I'm crazy because I don't like 51 million abortions. in the last 39 years. I don't know, 1973, do the math. 39 years. 38 years. I just don't even know anymore. I got all this TSA news coming up. They put a statement out about the groping of a little girl. And we've got the article here by Aaron Dykes. It's excellent. Busted TSA lied about promise not to grope children. Very important. Got a lot more coming up, too. Stay with us.
Big Brother, mainstream media, government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
We're now into hour number two. I was going to interview him for just a short pop-in last year and never got around to it. So for one segment, we're going to be talking to Dr. Gordon Peterson. He's a toxicologist. And this goes back to the whole flu situation and some other issues. So we're going to tie up that loose end because I like to finish what we start with his key information coming up. Then I will continue with your phone calls today. We'll open the phones up. After the next guest joins us, we'll have full open phones in the third hour today to talk about Obama wanting to raise taxes and get rid of a lot of the tax write-offs. And he's using the attack on him with General Electric not paying any taxes to say, see, we need to tax the rich. But General Electric and all the big bankers are still going to be exempt because they wrote the laws. And then your neighbor or your boss that's making $125,000 a year, they're going to raise their taxes and they're just going to lower your pay or let you go. And the economy will continue to implode. You know, Kennedy cut one tax bracket by half, the next bracket by 36%. If you pull up those numbers from 1961, and the next year and for the next 3 years, tax receipts doubled. The government knows this. When California continually raises taxes and their economy and their deficits get bigger, that's what the private banks that are running things want. They want them to go totally under, like a third world country, so the banks can come in and buy it all up for pennies on the dollar. It's the old story of you paid on a farm for 19 years. This is the last year's payments. You've got enough to pay it monthly, but there's a clause that they can demand the whole year in the last year, and they come to you and they say, you got 30 days to give us the entire amount of the farm. You don't have the money, so you go around trying to sell part of the farm to pay it. And the local banks work together to make sure that nobody gives a buyer a loan. And then after paying 19 years on that farm, they come and they take it. And if you don't go off of it, guess who shows up? The sheriff or the constable. And if you don't come out of that house, well, they're going to go in. That's what SWAT teams in the modern day are for. Now, in the old times, there were a lot of counties and places where they wouldn't do that. And where bankers tried stuff like that, well, it might be 5 years later, but they'd be walking down the middle of the street and they'd get knocked on the head, or worse. But see, people aren't red-blooded anymore. And so we're getting run over. And the globalists are testing us. Can they take our baby's blood at birth? Can they put poison in our water? Radioactive isotopes, fluoride. Can they stick their hands down our children's pants? Can they steal trillions of dollars? Can they take the veterans' death benefits? And the answer is, yes, we want to be raped. And their answer is, okay, we're going to do it harder then. We're going to take more of what you got. We're going to run over you. We're going to restrict your free speech. How's that sound? Well, we feel powerless. Go ahead. And so things get crazier and crazier by the minute. But we're going to be going over screening of six-year-old, there is a TSA statement saying this is standard procedure. They say the drug test that the TSA minion talks about could have been an explosive trace detection test, and they lie and say it's standard. I have them in USA Today last year saying they weren't going to screen children under 12. Official statement from them. An official lie. And by the way, those of you that say, well, if you don't like being groped, go through the scanner. They all went through the scanners and were groped. They're announcing everybody's going to get the scan and the grope.
He's the T-Rex of political talk. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
Here are some of the headlines right now today. Now well into the second hour. Thursday, the 14th day of April, 2011. Obama, Boehner budget deal increases the deficit. That's one of the headlines we're going to be going over. Also, nuclear expert, Fukushima 1,000 times worse than engineers ever anticipated. It's many times worse than Chernobyl, as we told you a month ago. Many times worse than Chernobyl, much larger reactors, much larger explosions, much higher levels of radiation. And the U.S. government's response is to raise radiation levels between 1,000 and 100,000 times previous levels that they call normal. That's on the EPA site, depending on the isotope. 1,000 to 100,000 times safe levels, with top nuclear engineers and experts saying Fukushima is 1,000 times worse than engineers ever anticipated. We're going to be breaking that down. Also, globalist position to exploit Japan's tragedy. Another key report I'm going to get into here in a moment. Busted. TSA lied about promise not to grope children. Also, the term Alex Jones tops Google Trends yesterday, but six-year-old groped blocked from rank. We see we did both those as a test. And more, we've done a lot of TSA searches now, and we're noticing they're blocked. So they've got some type of algorithm. We know the TSA pays Google, as anybody can do, but it takes a lot. BP got caught doing this as well, to totally dominate the first few pages of search results. That way, when somebody searches TSA, they don't find all the hardcore news. And that undoubtedly is going on. And we've got a report on that up at PrisonPlanet.com. We're going to get into much of northern Japan may be uninhabitable due to nuclear radiation. That's all at PrisonPlanet.com. But let me get to this first right now. This is the TSA's response. And now there's a bunch of new videos coming out of small children having the government stick their hands down their pants as prisoner enslavement training. And they just do it with a straight face. It's violation of the 10th Amendment, federal goons, no jurisdiction doing it. It's a violation of federal and state law. We've had district attorneys, members of legislatures on to break that down. They just don't care. It's a huge power grab. Violates your space, your rights. It violates laws on groping, on molestation. They don't care. They just do it. They don't follow the radiation laws on radiology. There's no testing, no controls. They don't care. Just like they have police and military now all over the U.S., I've got one newscast out of upstate New York where it says the National Guard helped arrest 2,000 people this year for drugs, alcohol, and weapons at random checkpoints. And it says we have the people drive under the X-ray. And it's a huge high-powered X-ray that shoots through a car. And it shows the people inside. I mean, it's far beyond, according to radiologists we've interviewed, between 10 and 100 times a chest X-ray. And they're just troops just standing there 3 feet under it, just, I'm going to be dead soon. I mean, again, more and more I realize it's the globalists are insane. I mean, they don't care. They love to destroy things. I go back to 20 years ago. When all the Army's own manuals, we've read the manuals on air, had the writer of the manuals, the head of the Pentagon DU program, Doug Brockey, on. I want to get him back on, but he's been in the hospital. Let's contact him. He couldn't talk to us 2 weeks ago. He's at the VA from all his DU poisoning. But And then in 91, they just said, we're now saying no restrictions, no decontamination. Troops can just use it everywhere. It's fine. I mean, and they're walking dead, folks. And the system, this stuff makes dioxin and Agent Orange look like mother's milk. The rounds ignite when they leave the barrel. You get a deadly dose if you get 1 microgram of it. They don't care. They like it. They like it. That's what I'm saying about these people. All right, now I'm ranting. I mean, the TSA workers are standing around this radiation all day, but that's nothing compared to the highway units. In Tennessee, in Texas, in California, in New York, I got local newscasts showing people driving under high-powered x-rays with these big giant wands that come off the top of the truck, and the trucks and the vans and the people in their cars, they have them. I mean, just a few years ago, they had machines you had to drive up in. You got out of the car, and the Border Patrol gets behind shielding, and then they drive it through a scanner. Now I'm seeing video and news footage from the border down in Texas where it just shows the Border Patrol standing around by mobile scanners. You guys are dead. You're going to get testicular cancer because that's on the outside of your body and also very susceptible to cancer. You're going to get, I mean, you're dead. I mean, you're dead. And you don't care, I'm telling you. It's funny. I know it's funny, 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 funny. Funny, isn't it? Because I'm not insane like you. I'm not a nutcase. You people think because you got uniforms on, it blocks the radiation out? And there's thousands of studies. The cell phones are giving us brain tumors. And there's all these big studies about the radar guns the cops stick between their legs that are broadcasting at a lower level even when they're not pulling the trigger. And the cops, I've seen the statistics, 3 times more likely if they're a radar cop to get testicular cancer. You don't care. You think it's fun to go in and have them chopped off. Okay, laugh at me. Laugh, 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 laugh. Laugh about dollar default. Laugh about depression. Laugh, 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 laugh. And you're going to laugh even when it all happens. You're going to laugh when you get that brain tumor announcement when you're 40 from all the cell phone use. You're going to laugh. You're going to laugh when your 14-year-old gets cancer from Fukushima. You're going to love it because you love evil, you love abortion, you love lies, you love open borders, you love being an idiot. All right, I'm sorry. I told you I'm in a nasty mood today because I just can't handle it anymore. Government lying as a course of action, even when the truth would suit them better. Because every time I watch this video, this 6-year-old girl, and you hear some other kid going, Daddy, I don't want him to touch me from behind whoever's videotaping, and to learn that they bucked up and threatened the parents, that you better let us do this or else. God, there's nothing this country won't take. We are land of the slave, home of the cowards. We are land of the cowards, home of the willful, demonically possessed idiots. And it could all end anytime you wanted it to. Anytime you started getting angry at city council for putting poison in your water, the fluoride and the rest of it. Anytime you got angry by government saying you can't pack your kids' lunch. Anytime you got angry when you're treated like a slave. Anytime you started acting like a red-blooded free creature. Anytime the spirit of this nation changed, if we'd hit our knees and repent. And if you don't believe in God, you ought to repent to the universe, you ought to repent to yourself, to fellow mankind, that you've been such a jellyfish. You ought to say, this is wrong. I want to change. I want to be better. And it doesn't mean you're going to change the world overnight, but it's that change of attitude. Again, if you don't believe in spiritual things, what's a pep rally for before a game? Get the spirit up. Get the attitude up. Get a different attitude about you. That's what we need. But instead, the globalists are selling us on an attitude of servile, safety-obsessed. Oh, I don't have any rights to be safe. The government wears these black uniforms and does all these things to me to keep me safe. And this fetish for people going, well, it is the law. No, it's not the law. Most of it's unconstitutional garbage. Well, we've got to do it. We got to pay our fair share or the economy's going to collapse when all your income tax money goes to interest on the debt from the day it started for the private Federal Reserve. It's bondage. It's a joke. I mean, look at this announcement from the TSA on the TSA website. Screening of 6-year-old at MSY. A video taken of our officers. They're not officers. They're hired minimum wage government goons. They're not sworn officers. Though they're trying to give them national security clearances now. The idiots don't know, so they can't whistleblow or defend themselves when they get cancer. They're like, I'm a secret agent now. A video taken of one of the officers patting down a six-year-old has attracted quite a bit of attention. Oh. And we're happy to say we're hiring more pedophiles because of the video. It's a good recruiting tool. You people don't know how we operate. See, it's backfiring on you. You're not in full spectrum evil like we are. Ha ha, you didn't figure out our dark logic. Oh, I'm sorry, they didn't say that. Screening of six-year-olds at MSY. A video taken of one of our officers patting down. Patting down, you mean going in the pants and squeezing the genitals? See, all lies from you, because your father's a liar. The video taken of one of our officers patting down a six-year-old has attracted quite a bit of attention. Some folks are asking if the proper procedures were followed. Yes, TSA has reviewed the incident, and the security officer in the video followed the current standard operating procedures, which are not written and are secret. Of course, they don't add that. With that said, you may have read recently that our administrator is looking into ways to move past the cookie-cutter approach to screening, recognizing that terrorists are willing to manipulate social norms to evade detection. Yet now they're talking in Australia about full-body x-rays at their airports, and sometimes they may do a proctology exam. Oh, we weren't joking years ago. We said next, they want their hands in your body. It's like, what, you don't like your six-year-old having some big fat woman go inside her body? Well, you're with Al-Qaeda. TSA, they go on, has been actively assessing less invasive screening methods for low-risk populations. Populations, little prisoners, such as younger passengers, while still maintaining a high level of security. And you know the globalists are going to lead some little kid on a plane and blow him up on a plane. And it'll even be on the news that the U.S. government got him on board, and that Anwar al-Awlaki was there at the Pentagon running it. And then people will be like, well, just ignore that. Okay, al-Qaeda did run it, and the State Department did help him get on the plane, but it was scary. It was scary. Also, you may have heard the video. Someone references a drug test. TSA does not test for drugs. Oh, really? I got articles that they are starting. It's possible those individuals are referring to explosive detection tracing test that can detect the smallest traces of explosives. Okay, well, you're caught lying. Here's the article, Infowars.com, with the screenshot of USA Today. No enhanced pat-downs for kids, TSA says. And then we have the photo of the woman squeezing between her legs, a little girl, and going in the pants. In the pants. So, but I guess, see, they're going to say, well, that's not enhanced now. See, enhanced is a rubber glove. And, you know, get up in the stirrups. Come on, it's time. We'll be right back, fellow Al-Qaeda. Look, to simplify it, this is what's happening. The globalists are psychological warfare experts in their own admissions. They are engineering the world population to be unthinking spectators who regurgitate whatever they're told, and they're changing our societal norms by moving what is known as the Overton window to the extreme where we will accept anything. That's why 39 years ago, they wouldn't tell you they were taking blood from babies secretly when they started it. Now they'll tell you, yeah, we took blood secretly. Shut up. Yeah, big mega banks launder hundreds of billions in drug money a year. Shut up. Yeah, we're taking the veterans' pension funds. Shut up. Yeah, we're going to stick our hands down you and your family's pants. Shut up. It's for your own good. And they're building an army of people who have psychologically given in to the tyranny and then who defend it. See, somebody who goes along with evil doesn't just kind of halfway go along with it. They then become defenders of it because in their little delusional world, it must be okay. And you're the bad person for pointing out that they're wrong. And that's exactly what the TSA has become, is a bunch of crooks. And I've had district attorneys on this show breaking down that if they catch them sticking their hands down a child's pants, they're going to go to jail. Well, where are those district attorneys now? Because this stuff's going on everywhere. Misdemeanor on the outside, felony on the inside. We got video on the inside of the pants every day. New videos out today going on at every major airport. And if you don't want them to, imagine, you don't want them to stick their hands down your pants or your children. You're sitting there and they're just like, then leave. And then when you try to leave, they charge you for leaving a screening. I mean, these are criminals. And to them, it's a fun little thing. Hey, we rigged the game. Hey, we're criminals. Isn't this fun? Oh, we're fighting Al-Qaeda. Sure you are. Run from the Pentagon publicly. But, oh, we're not supposed to look at those admissions. And here is Aaron Dyke's article that I want to get out to everybody. Busted. TSA lied. You know what? The Google search term worked for Alex Jones. Let's do a test today, and this will pretty much confirm it, because there's no doubt we can make any term we want number one. Let's Google TSA, just the letters together, all caps, TSA lied. That's very simple. Let's make it number one. If, by the way, our other TSA search term didn't even show up yesterday. And then I had the bright idea to say Alex Jones. That made it through. Number one search term. Let's finally prove today that something's going on that we can investigate more. TSA lied. L-I-E-D. Great job, by the way, yesterday, making the other search term number one. TSA lied. 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 Two words. TSA or one abbreviation and then lied. TSA lied. TSA lied. TSA lied. Hit him. Hit him. Hit him. Hit him. Hit him hard. Busted. TSA lied about promise not to grope children. TSA has defended the groping of a six-year-old girl, saying it followed policy. Wow, was it policy to shoot people in the back of the head in Nazi Germany? Is that okay too? Or policy to kill whole villages in Afghanistan? Yeah, it is. According to the Ithaca Times, Ithaca Journal. Yet in November 2010, just 6 months ago or 5 months ago, TSA vowed no enhanced pat-downs for children under 12. And there's the USA Today headline we have for you right there, screenshotted. The Transportation Security Administration, TSA, contradicted itself, even to the point of outright lying and responding to the controversy about a six-year-old girl who received a groping pat-down after already being sent through a body scanner, a roaster. The video went viral after appearing on the drudgereport.com and many other sites. TSA typically explained away this unnerving experience that left the girl in tears by arguing that the action is perfectly normal, follows all procedures, and keeps us safe from terrorism. Oh, like the underwear bomber being got on the plane by the State Department? You see, the TSA rationalized in its latest defense that terrorists, this is a quote, are willing to manipulate societal norms to evade detection. Oh, yes, when they're being gotten on the airplanes and protected in every case, just like the shoe bomber, underwear bomber, all run by Lockheed under Pentagon command, Fox News AP. But let's just ignore that information. Thus, TSA would have it, we must abandon societal norms and laws like touching children in their private parts and instead subject them to pre-crime inspections. According to logic, no woman and child, little old ladies, or men handicapped in wheelchairs or implanted with modern medical devices, no body cavity or private part is safe from extensive probing by the guardians in government. As the Justice Department recently proclaimed, the TSA assumes the authority to literally strip search people on demand. Oh, they said, we can strip search you. And while they're strip searching you in every major airport, they've been caught robbing your bags. Oh, and it goes on and on. This article needs to get out everywhere. Let's hit them, and let's hit them hard. TSA lied. TSA lied. TSA lied. TSA lied. You're liars, and I'm calling you out! I'm sick of it! I'm not your property, filth! Get it through your mind, you drug-running, murdering, child-kidnapping feds! Mark Weisbrot, co-director of the Center for Economic and Policy Research, is going to be with us for the next 25 minutes or so. You may have seen the big headlines in the news, the Drudge Report, New York Times. The BRIC, this big global consortium, China and others, is saying, hey, they want to go away from the dollar. They want to end dollar hegemony. They just had the Bretton Woods II with George Soros and others sneaking around in New Hampshire, and they said, yes, the consensus is the dollar's already not the world reserve currency. It's part of a spectrum with gold and oil involved, gold at all-time high, surging right now insanely, silver as well. We're going to be covering that some in the next hour. We'll have open phones in the next hour, by the way, and get into Fukushima situation. We've also got a new report out by Kurt Nemo. SWAT team attacks homeschool mom for refusing to force medicate child. But the borders are wide open, and the State Department came out last week and said, hey. They said, hey. Mexico is targeting American citizens. Don't go down there. And then they quietly pulled that report. Well, I don't need the State Department to tell me that's going on. So the real war is going on down there, but you got to stay on top of these homeschoolers. Now, don't forget, we got a special running for the rest of the month where you can get the new book, Big Brother, The Orwellian Nightmare Come True. Excellent new book. With Jesse Ventura's new 63 documents the government doesn't want you to read on the online video bookstore at Infowars.com, and get a free DVD, all my best-selling films, pick whichever one you want at Infowars.com. Police State 4, The Rise of FEMA, The Obama Deception, and it's a symbiotic relationship. You fund our operation, plus you get films and books that you can read, you can watch, and then pass the books along to others. People are really ready to be awoken, to be awakened. And you can also take my DVDs and make copies, air them on Access TV, give them to opinion makers in your area. This is so important. Infowars.com. You can also support the broadcast by 15 cents a day. See the video live stream, the video archive, the higher quality audio podcast, all my films, hundreds of special interviews. Got a bunch of new ones coming up next week at prisonplanet.tv. And we're getting ready for the new TV show, by the way, with the graphics and everything else. That's going to be there for members as well, prisonplanet.tv. Okay, so we're hearing all these announcements about moving away from the dollar. And I wanted to discuss with an economic expert the effects that that will have. You're already seeing dollar devaluation causing commodities to go up, energy to go up, and hence everything else that's delivered going up. And we've seen all these big headlines out of Reuters and out of Voice of America, BRICS nations oppose use of force in Libya, and you got China, Russia, India, and others involved in all of this. And so joining us is Mark Weisbrot, who is, again, also writes a weekly column for The Guardian Unlimited, and he also is president of Just Foreign Policy. The website is cepr.net. Thank you for coming on with us.
Sure, thank you. My pleasure.
So much is happening. Break down for those that don't know what BRICS is and some of the big moves they're engaged in.
Yes, well, I think, they represent about half the world's population, about 20% of the output in the world. And so, they're just another force in what's becoming an increasingly, I would say, multipolar world. And I think that's a good thing, really. I think we'll all, as Americans, will be better off the more this happens.
Why? Because the private corporate interests running us as their private credit card and military force won't be able to just do whatever they want?
That's exactly right. I mean, we don't really benefit from having an empire in the world. And so anybody who's, trying to end that, as long as they're not using violence, which these countries are not, they're helping us. I mean, we might even get health care in this country once we finally stop spending all our money on wars.
That's right. The current defense budget's over $1 trillion, supplemental $800 billion, almost $2 trillion going into this black hole every year.
Yeah, and it's a huge waste, and it's making enemies all over the world. I mean, you look at how people in Pakistan are hating us because they're, civilians are being killed there, every week by these drone bombings. And, it's just we have so many wars now between Afghanistan, Pakistan, Iraq, now Libya. It's just, we don't know where it ends. And so I think it's good that the BRIC countries decided to take a position against the Western intervention in Libya. And more importantly, for a negotiated solution, because that's what you're going to need. And I think, Brazil in particular, which is one of the BRICS countries, I mean, they've always been pushing for these kinds of solutions. They prefer to use diplomacy rather than force.
Looking at their big announcements dealing with the dollar, somebody who researches this, Mark, break down what these new bold announcements signify in your opinion.
Well, I don't think it's going to mean that much. The dollar was about 61% of reserve holdings in the world. That is, all countries have to hold, well, we don't, but most countries have to hold foreign exchange reserves. And about 61% of that was dollars last year, and that was about the same as the year before. So I think in the long run, it will decline. But it's not going to happen that fast, and it won't have any real drastic effect on the U.S. if countries switch more to other currencies over time. It won't hurt us. In fact, there are a lot of downsides to being the world's currency, one of which is that, we tend to have an overvalued currency. And that means that, we've lost 6 million manufacturing jobs in the last 10 years. And most of that is really due to our currency being overvalued. Now, of course, if we had a government that was responsible to the majority and not so much to Wall Street, we would have a more competitive currency and we wouldn't have lost all those jobs.
Well, sure, Mark. I mean, there's a lot of factors obviously feeding into deindustrialization and now even loss of the, quote, new service economy that was going to be so great. But there's a method to this madness. I mean, even if the dollar is devalued and that encourages some, new production in this country, overall, China and India and others are still so much further below us that I don't see that having as big of as a positive effect as some have been saying.
Well, I think it's very big. I mean, if the dollar is, say, 25% overvalued, that's just like putting a
tariff
on all of our goods that we're trying to export and subsidizing for 25% everybody who wants to export to the United States. And that's the kind of thing we've been doing for a long time. So, yeah, I think that, obviously we're not going to compete in some areas where cheap labor is the biggest thing. But in areas where technology and productivity increases are a bigger part of the story, we would have a lot of those jobs. I would say that's the biggest cause. I mean, the trade agreements like NAFTA and WTO, those hurt a lot too. But I would say the dollar, the currency, is even bigger than that.
Again, if you just joined us, Mark Weisbrot is our guest, the co-director of the Center for Economic and Public Policy. He has a PhD in economics from the University of Michigan. He is the co-author with Dean Baker of Social Security, The Phony Crisis, University of Chicago Press, and has written numerous research papers on economic policy. He writes a weekly column for The Guardian, also McClatchy newspapers, and over 500 newspapers. He also writes a column for Brazil's largest newspaper. His opinion pieces have appeared in The Washington Post, Los Angeles Times, The Boston Globe, and major U.S. newspapers. And he has recently authored the scorecard on development, Closing the Gap. Bottom line, heading up the CEPR, prestigious organization, and your views are widely respected. What is the health of the American empire and the gaggle of insider corporations that basically use us as a very dangerous juggernaut marionette to carry out their aims? Because I'm seeing more and more just insane, wild, hubris-filled actions by this system, almost fleeing forward with bravado right now.
Well, I think the empire, if you put it in those terms, is falling apart at a rate that is unprecedented. And as I said, I think that's a good thing in the sense that it hurts us. We don't need to be spending this kind of money on military. We don't need to be making enemies, which then kind of, it perpetuates a cycle where there's violence against the United States. And it denies us a lot of things that people in other high-income countries have, like health care, high-speed internet.
Well, how do you see the unraveling of the empire then? What are some of the different avenues that you see it degenerating through? Because, I mean, normally an empire is going to try to start not just regional wars, but a wider war to try to keep that power. And if it does implode, all the tentacles of mercenaries and parasites are going to come back home. And it seems that's their rearguard action to, at least if they can't rule the globe, can't rule in heaven, rule in hell. Satan once was reportedly said, coming back here to rule us.
Well, I think we're going to get out of Afghanistan. It's going to take public pressure here at home. I mean, that's the thing. We have a very limited form of democracy, but we do have elections. And that makes a difference. And I think we're going to get out of Afghanistan. We're going to leave Iraq, but they have to be pushed. I mean, they want to stay. You know, the military, actually, it's interesting. I think the military is not anxious to get into new wars. You saw what Robert Gates said about Libya. He was not interested. He was not very anxious to participate.
Well,
in
yeah,
that.
Libya doesn't have $500 billion a year in opium.
But once they get in, the problem is once they get in, they don't want to leave. As a matter of professional pride, they don't want to leave until they have something that they can call a victory, even if it isn't. And so that's part of the reason we're still in Afghanistan, I think. They pressured Obama and on that one. But I think you are going to see more and more people in the United States will get fed up with it. That's really what has to happen, because the foreign policy establishment in this country, they are committed to running the world. And that's, you know, that's something that just doesn't change.
From your research, who's driving this Anglo-American attempt at world government to all of our individual detriment inside the Imperium? I mean, who are the main drivers, and what is their end game if they're successful?
I think it's more political than economic, actually. You can see this in a lot of cases. You know, for example, in Venezuela, where the United States have been trying to overthrow that government since 2002, the big oil companies didn't really care. It was, and they're pretty powerful corporations. For most of that period, the two biggest, Exxon and ExxonMobil and Chevron, really didn't want to do it. It was really coming from the State Department. And I think that's what I mean by the foreign policy establishment. You have the State Department, you have the whole National Security Establishment, you have the Council on Foreign Relations, you have all of these groups that, you know, there's differences of opinion. Obviously, a lot of them didn't think were against the invasion of Iraq, for example. But nonetheless, they hold this view that any loss of power of the United States over other countries is a big loss and has to be regained by any means necessary. That's their basic view. And because of that, for example, they'll support a war that they don't even want just so they can call it a victory. And I think that's the real problem. Now, you do have, I mean, over you also have, obviously, you have the military-industrial complex. You have individual corporations with their particular interests. And those are very important, too. But I would put them second to the State Department and its allies. And, you know, the press is part of this, too. The media is a huge part of it. And, that's why I appreciate this show, because you really don't have in this country, in the media, you really don't have an independent civil society on foreign policy issues that's represented in the media. It's kind of like Russia, where everybody you see on the television, on the major stations and networks, is either a government official, a former government official, or somebody who's getting money from the government. And that's not true on a lot of other issues, but it's really true on the foreign policy issues.
Well, isn't it also a revolving door in banking and military, with the generals going into the defense jobs? So it's really delayed payoffs with the former Goldman Sachs, J.P. Morgan going into government, then back into the banks. I mean, it's just an inside, really crony capitalist system that isn't free market.
That's absolutely right. It's a massive level of corruption. And, you know, it's interesting because, you know, the IMF and the World Bank especially are always complaining about corruption in other countries, in developing countries in particular. But really, we're just as corrupt. It just takes a different form. Like you said, it's a delayed payment. You go from the Treasury Department, the Goldman Sachs, and back and forth. And you know that that's, or even the Fed, for example. And you know that there's that payment for you, and that affects your decisions on financial regulation and everything else. And, of course, in the military-industrial complex, you've had this for decades, the revolving door between the Pentagon and the consultants. And it's really a deep, all-pervasive level of corruption, and of course it includes the financing of our elections as well, which is just a kind of legalized bribery, as I'm sure you know. So these are deep problems. But I will say, having said all that, I'm not as pessimistic as some people are, because I do think that ultimately you do have a lot of activity For example, we are going to get out of Afghanistan. And when we do, it will be because you don't see the people in the streets, you know, like you do in Europe. But right now, there are thousands of people around the country that are contacting their members of Congress, and they are putting pressure on them. And they are, that's why you got the majority of Democrats, for example, to go against Obama and say they wanted a timetable now, for withdrawal from Afghanistan.
Let me ask you this question.
That's pressure.
Sure. Shifting gears back into the dollar, with the BRIC coming out saying they want to move away from the dollar, with Soros moving, you know, calling for that, and trying to get a consensus together, do you see it being a gradual process, or then at some point do you see a fast drop in the value of the dollar, and what's the time frame?
No, it's a very gradual process. And I mean, obviously, in currency markets, there's enormous volatility. You have things like the carry trade, where right now, for example, you know, traders are borrowing in dollars, so they're selling the dollar. That's what's pushed it down against the euro. And then they're buying the euro because the European Central Bank is raising interest rates and we're not. So you have those kinds of short-term things. And, you know, and that causes a lot of volatility. But, you know, relative volatility. But the, you know, the dollar crashing, I mean, that would be actually good for us if it happened. But I don't think it's going to happen because the big holders of dollar reserves, like, you know, China and Japan, they don't want that to happen.
So it doesn't die with a bang. It kind of just fades off into the sunset.
I think mostly, yes. Especially now. I mean, you know, a few years ago, we had a trade deficit that was huge. It was 6% of GDP. We lost a big chunk of that because of the recession.
All right. Listen, so, Mark, I want to get you back up in the near future, CEPR.net. Interesting perspectives. Mark Weisbrot, thank you so much for joining us. Co-director for the Center for Economic and Policy Research and a widely read syndicated columnist. Thank you for coming on, sir.
Thank you.
All right, we'll be right back with SWAT teams coming if you don't drug your kids or if you try to pack their lunch. That's right, you don't pack your child a lunch, not in America.
Mother had a 12-hour standoff with police at this home just behind me. A few hours ago, she was set free. Flanked by her lawyers, Marianne Godboldo walks out of the Wayne County Jail, taking her first breaths of freedom since her 12-hour standoff with police last week.
I'm very excited to be out, to be reunited with my daughter. I'm loving these wonderful ladies for working so tireless for me. And Mr. Ron Scott as well. All of the community, I thank you so very much for coming out. I really, really appreciate it.
The 56-year-old mother ended up behind bars after police say she shot at them when they tried to take her daughter into custody. Godboldo stayed silent when we asked her if she indeed opened fire on officers.
Why open fire?
What we're going
to
do
tomorrow
we'll have a more expansive statement.
Godboldo's ordeal began last Thursday at her home here on Blaine when Child Protective Services came to take custody of her 13-year-old daughter, accusing Godboldo of not giving her medication for a mental condition. Godboldo would not give up the child. Police were called, broke down her door, and that's when officers say Godboldo shot at them. A standoff ensued.
She didn't open fire.
There was no shot fired.
Well, that is a legal issue that is not...
That's alleged. I'm sorry, Allison. But
right, that's an allegation.
Godboldo's bond was originally set at $500,000 last Sunday, but a new judge today reduced it to a $200,000 personal bond. Godboldo did not have to put up any cash. And Godboldo's attorney also says that police did not have a warrant or any court documents when they came here to the home last week. But we talked to police just a few minutes ago. They say they had a writ, which is a court order, which allowed them to go into that home. They say they even showed it to some of the family members of Godboldo. But that warrant was did not exist, according to the attorneys. As for the custody of the young girl, the 13-year-old, there is a hearing early next month. We'll keep you posted. Reporting live on Detroit's West Side, I'm Tom Wade, Channel 7 Action News. All right.
We now have the backstory on this. Many of the reports in the newspapers are saying that there's no evidence she shot at him. I've seen SWAT teams in Texas in being caught repeatedly in Austin. Also, a case in Midland where the cops shot their own cop in the back and then blamed the guy who didn't have a gun. I don't believe anything comes out of their mouths anymore, because normally with government it's a lie. Maybe there's a chance she did, but I don't believe she'd ever would even gotten out of jail if that was the case. But here's the issue. Because of a birth defect, the state, when she was born, demanded they cut off her foot. Then she swam, sang, danced, was happy, was a homeschooler. Then when she got into middle school, she said, I want to go to public school to meet people. They demanded she be given vaccinations. There's no law you have to, but they lied and made her take vaccinations. Then she had an autoimmune response and threw a fit. And so then they demanded that she be put on Prozac-type drugs. She began acting out of character, being irritated, having facial grimaces, and being associated with immunizations, told the Detroit News. So then they said that she's got to go on the Prozac-type drugs. She said no, so they came to take her to put her on the drugs. And this is how it works, folks. In many areas of the country now, not just Illinois, you can't pack a lunch. They say, we don't trust you. No, you can't feed your child. They're trying to take people's children if they say they're overweight. Look, folks, this is the end of parenthood. This is the end of parents. That's what the TSA abusing children. I've seen at the airports, they pull them out and women out over and over again. They're breaking the weakest or the people that can't resist will, who are more compliant. They're breaking their will first. As Hitler said, first you get the women, then you got the children, so follow the men. You got the women. That's why 80% or more of advertising targets women. It's when women purchase most stuff at the grocery store. They make most decisions on small ticket items and have just about as much decision on homes and cars. Women run the world. The New World Order runs women, and they run men, too. Men are busy, you know, watching sports and acting like five-year-olds. Okay, we'll be right back with a ton of other key news. Third hour straight ahead.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
SWAT attacks home school mom for refusing to force med the child. They forced vaccinations earlier on her. She'd been homeschooled until middle school. Even the Detroit Free Press and others report she had an excellent record in the community, known as upstanding, no criminal record, but her motherly natural instincts kicked in when the school demanded they put her on an unapproved psychotropic drug. When she got a court order from Wayne County Circuit Court that it was an experimental drug and that the school could not force her to take it, the CPS said, we got men in black uniforms. Forget the courts. Launch attack! And that's how it works. And the standoff ended, the 10 to 12 hour standoff ended, there's different reports, when a judge told her over the phone and as well. Well, I should probably just read this article here instead of just picking through it here. She sought help from the Children's Center, an organization claiming to help families with at-risk children. Of course, they just called the CPS, the school did, and told relatives that medications ordered by the doctor worsened symptoms, including behavioral problems. When she refused, the mother refused to give her child the prescribed medication. Child Protective Services became involved. CPS obtained a warrant to remove the child because the mother reportedly refused to surrender the child to the state. Police claim the mother discharged a firearm in her apartment during the standoff, and that's when SWAT team was called in. Her attorney, Allison Folmar, that's who we got to get a hold of, claims her client never shot at police. Notice the news didn't get that quote for you. In a report in the Voice of Detroit, which reports that the police sent the Detroit Special Response Team officers who descended on the home with a tank and assault weapons. Video footage shows individual officers stalking and staking out the house, taking over behind trees with their weapons, as in a military operation, reports Health Impact Daily News. The Detroit News reports that the mother has an excellent reputation in her community, and during a 10-hour standoff, many people from the community offered to help with the negotiations, including ministers and community activists. Wayne Circuit Judge Deborah Thomas finally convinced the mother to surrender with a promise her daughter would be turned over to the relatives. And, of course, the same judge had issued the order they couldn't drug her. We don't care about judges. We got uniforms and machine guns. Family members, however, say the girl was grabbed by the state regardless of the promise. Well, the government promises. You can bet it ain't going to happen. They just ignored the judge. The mother, God Boldo, was arraigned Sunday before the 36th District Magistrate, Sidney Barthwell, Jr., on charges of firing a weapon in a dwelling. So it's not that they even say that she shot at the cops. She shot in the house, and that's denied. Felonious assault, resisting and obstructing an officer, and use of a firearm in the commission of a felony. Her bond was set at $500,000. I remember the Branch Davidians were found not guilty of shooting at police and arson, but then they were found guilty of using firearms in the commission of a crime, though no other crime was, there was no other conviction for another crime. And when the Supreme Court ruled that all of the Davidians be released, they weren't released for many years. See, this is how corrupt the system is. Just, I see a little trick there they're doing. I'm shocked by the amount of bond. I never dreamed it would be set so high. She wouldn't be free to care for her daughter, said an outraged Deborah Thomas. Child Protective Services was trying to force her child to take a dangerous medication against her will. We have been able to get a court order signed by Wayne County Circuit Judge stating that the administration of the drug, which is not approved by the FDA in such cases, that's why they put her in Hawthorne so they could dope her up, family attorney Allison Fulmer told the media. This case is yet another example of CPS working in league with the police in order to kidnap children. She was obviously an excellent mother and not a threat to the police. The fact that they sent a tank to her apartment is more evidence that the state will react in a violent, knee-jerk fashion when its authority is challenged. Yeah, it's about breaking our will. So there you go. First they lie and shoot her up with vaccine. Suddenly she starts having problems because of it. That's even in the vaccine inserts. It can cause that. Then they want to dope her up. She doesn't want to dope her up. Here comes the SWAT team. We'll teach you. We'll be right back. Your phone call straight ahead. 800-259-9231.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want answers? Well, so does he. He's Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network. And now, live from Austin, Texas, Alex Jones.
Up, but I wanted to finish up with what I was covering at the end of the hour. This girl was born. Her foot was deformed. They amputated it. Then she was homeschooled till middle school. Great grades, swimming, dancing. Her mother, well-known in the community. Even the Detroit Free Press is saying no criminal record, upstanding member of the community. She wanted to go to public school to have more friends. Put her in there. Then they said, you got to have vaccinations. Obviously bullied the mom into that. That's not the law, but the news reported it like it was. More fraud. She suddenly starts to be angry, have headaches. That's one of the classic descriptions of side effects. Of course, that's really the main effect is what they want to do. And so they said, well, now we want to put her on experimental antipsychotics. And she even got a judge's order saying, no, CPS, you can't. CPS said, we don't care. Sent police to take her, to put her in some type of mental ward. The police claim she shot a gun inside the house. They come and grab her. And here it is. A mother cornered with her child not wanting to hand it over to the state. They're like, well, it's the law. No, a judge had ordered them to not drug her. But the CPS didn't care because this girl was disabled. Now mentally, thanks to their shots and physically, they can get, on average, four times more in federal and state aid through the different little government and private centers they put them in than they can for a child who doesn't have disabilities. That's why 69% of Texas foster children, WOAI Radio and TV did a report 2 years ago on it, but it turns out that's the national average as well, are given psychological designations and are put on drugs, 60%+. Because the money goes ding, 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 jing, jing, jing. You know, the big floodgates of money pop open once this gets rolling. So that's why they were going after her. She was a plum goodie for them. And it's just that's why schools lie and say it's the law, you got to take vaccines. You're like, well, I know you've got a waiver form, and that's a waiver form for something that isn't even the law. You just asked for me to fill that out with the health department. It's not a request. You absolutely have to comply. And they'll say, okay, here's the waiver form. But they'll play dumb because the federal government, if they don't get almost all the children vaccinated through the guidelines, they don't get their federal money. And the feds don't want you vaccinated because they care about you, folks. They've been caught worldwide. The White House science czar has written about it, spiking the vaccines. They've been caught over and over again. Remember, this is a federal government for now close to 90 years, forcibly sterilizing people in the U.S. up until the late 1980s. They set up the family courts for sterilization. They were called eugenics, racial hygiene courts. Hitler got all his ideas from the U.S. and England. That's all mainline history if you go research it. They're not real courts. They have no force behind them but SWAT teams. And that they color of law con you. And so they operate through this fraud, and they know exactly what they're doing. And it's the health departments through the federal government, even though they're, quote, county, that tell the hospital, oh, it's a law. You got to take blood from that baby for a blood test we want to do. Goes to a DNA data bank. Going on for 39 years, almost 40. I mean, the health departments are federal operations of criminality. That doesn't mean all of the people at the health department, food inspectors or, somebody with animal control are. But the original founding of health departments was for the family courts that do not have due process in the name of protecting the children. Before that, there were regular courts, regular due process. All right, I'm going to shut up and go to your calls. And I got a bunch of financial news, a bunch of news on Obama's tax speech that won't do anything to get rid of the deficit. The Republicans slashing welfare will do nothing for it. You got to get rid of the big mega banks or nothing will be fixed. Leo in Texas, you're on the air.
Hi, Alex. I have a question for you. And it has to do with the BRICS that you were talking to Mr. Weisbrot before. I'm a Brazilian national. And my question is, everyone wants to be like America. All the countries want to reach this standard of living, right? Everyone, and if you go there, I was born there, it's not even close. So my question is, based on the law of supply and demand, wouldn't the prices of everything go high, much higher and higher and higher and ever higher if all the countries want to be like America? Isn't that true? Brazil wants to be just as rich, and so does India, so does China, all these countries. So,
well, let's be clear. America became rich because it had the highest standard of liberty and property rights. We're now become the greatest debtor nation in the world. So if nations think they want to be like us, they want to be like the old America. They don't want to be like this one.
That's right. I agree with you. But when you go out there and you talk to the people, that's what they want to do. They want to have all this infrastructure. They want to buy, Toyota Corollas for cheap and have their homes. And that's not the case. So my question is, when it comes to supply and demand, wouldn't the prices of oil and metals and all that go higher automatically because all these countries are also, leaching from the same supply?
Well, as certain materials get more expensive, they can just find alternate materials. And generally, through a long curve supply and demand, if you really study history, not so much the Keynesian version of it, if you study it, then it creates competition. But yes, if you don't have true free market, true competition, if you have oligopolies, duopolies, combines, monopolies, then prices do necessarily go up. Quality goes down. But I don't think that actually Brazil doing better will make us do better. The U.S. doing better will make Germany do better. China doing better will make us do better if it's a level playing field. But it's not a level playing field when our government is run by globalists who own the factories on record in Brazil and China. And so 2 years ago or a year and a half ago with the bailout of GM and others, it was in the news. $1.5 billion to help start a GM plant in Brazil. Taxpayer money. $2 billion to build one in China. $2 billion or was it $3 billion for one in Eastern Europe controlled by Russia? So again, these globalists have invested in the emerging markets and then done inside deals to not just set up higher taxes and regulation here so we can't compete, but also to get actual bailout money to themselves, and then they take it to Brazil, not because they care about the Brazilian people, but so they can build them cheaper. Now, if they could already go down there and build them cheaper, and then Brazil would be built up, and we get a little bit better deal. But instead, it's super, super cheaper, and so then we can't compete. And so it's just incredible. Anything else?
I'm just really curious on that issue, but that's good enough. Good talking to you. Thanks for taking my call.
Absolutely. I appreciate your call. It was true liberty. I mean, not perfect, but the greatest expression ever that this country, for its first 160 years or so, 155 years or so, had zero inflation. Money stayed the same value. Zero inflation in the aggregate. And on average, a 10 and change, I forget the exact number, 10 plus growth rate a year, like China's having. Now with their cookbooks, they say a 3% growth rate on average. I mean, look, the West is so dead and so socially reprobate and so decadent, and we don't even have our instinct to breed. The Japanese are the same. The Europeans are the same. Anybody that, it's a paradox. Liberty and ingenuity and intelligence creates incredible wealth. Then your kids become spoiled brats. Their kids become little spoiled tyrants. Their kids become homeless and become enslaved. I mean, if you read the Bible, even if you don't believe in God or whatever, it's a history of what happened in the Middle East. And the more and more they do archaeology, the more they understand it. It's one of the most accurate, you know, history books out there. Because, you know, they get other histories by the Romans and others, and it mirrors exactly, just from a different perspective, what was being said and done. And look at what happened to Israel. Every few hundred years, they would get uppity, get decadent, would forget their roots, and they'd get captured and enslaved. And the prophets were always there saying, we're going to go over the edge of a cliff, we're going to be enslaved, we become corrupt, our kids are lazy, we're dumb, we've forgotten what made us strong, boom, enslaved. And folks, it's the same throughout history. All right, let's go to another call here. That was an important question, but I got to get to other people here. Sean in Canada, you're on the air.
Hi, Alex. Good talk to you.
Welcome.
I've got a little request for you, if it's possible. We have a girl that's a good patriot, friend of ours in the networks online, and she's doing a international strike. Have you heard of that this weekend?
I've heard a lot of people launching international strikes and don't pay your taxes days and a lot of different organizations we've promoted.
Yeah, don't buy, don't comply, she's saying. It's UnitedWeStrike.com. It'd be a marathon radio show for 2-3 days.
Is that the lady I've had on?
I'm not sure if Karen's been on your show or not, but I would recommend her.
Yeah, awesome. Well, I've had a lot of folks on, and I think, overall, we need to reach out basically in an educational way. And if we're ever going to have a big strike day, we need to build towards it. To really show the system the power of the people. The problem is, as long as the globalists control the issuance of currency and credit and that they get first use of the money and then can loan it out at interest, that's manufacturing wealth for them out of nothing. That's why the globalists can get away with such incredibly insane, corrupt things, is because they control the money machines. All right, David, Martin, Charles, Josh, others, we're getting to everybody. I got a bunch of other news I haven't even gotten to yet. Gold just surging. Same thing with silver. It is all coming up today. And I'm going to get into some more on Fukushima. TEPCO confirms Reactor 4 spent fuel pool is now an uncontrolled open fission process. That's Chernobyl. Much of northern Japan now unlivable due to nuclear radiation. It's all coming up.
That the dice are loaded.
Okay, let's go to David in Pennsylvania. David, you're on the air. Welcome.
Hey, Alex. Thank you for taking my call.
Welcome.
I've got a whole page of things I can talk about, but I guess the whole CPS, social services, homeschooling thing is kind of at the top of my list, and that's just, it's driving me nuts. I was actually homeschooled for 12 years back in the 80s. I'm homeschooling my children, but it's something that I think every parent out there needs to consider. you mentioned yesterday, I think it was, or maybe it was last Friday, about how the cost of not being in public school can be a big barrier. But listen, everybody, you just can't afford to let people do this to your children. And you got to figure out however you can do it. Even if it's not mom coming home to work, there are ways to make it work. So many of us, you know, dad, you can help at night. You don't have to do it in the morning. You got to get your kids out of school. We had a, real quick, Alex, I want to share something that happened to us. We have a situation where my oldest daughter is actually my wife's first daughter. She's my stepdaughter. And so CPS actually came at the father's allegations for some false things years ago. And interestingly, their tactics have always been guerrilla. This was in Virginia, but I assume they train them this way everywhere. When the lady came to our house, she came to the driveway. We're watching out the window. She parked in our driveway in the normal area where everyone would park. I mean, the way this driveway was set up, it was obvious where you're supposed to park. She sat there for a couple seconds in her car, and then she adjusted her car, reparked it sideways behind our vehicle as close as she could get to our car so that there was no possible way we could get out of the driveway. And it was just remarkable, her whole mentality of this.
Well, that's like a lot of the census workers will bust in houses, come at 10, 11 at night. They've had cases where they call SWAT teams. If you don't talk to them, they end up killing people. There's been a few cases of that last year. I mean, because they're giving people that don't have any training in the law, the Bill of Rights, police procedure, quasi-police powers. It's the same thing with CPS. And a lot of cops go overboard with the power they've got, and they've been trained a lot more and are sworn officers. These people aren't, and the CPS just operate. I have covered CPS cases where they don't even fill out the child's name right, their age right. They'll just use old forms from other cases to file with the courts because they just operate under a predatory federal funding system where they have quotas to get more and more children.
That's right, and their whole system is designed to try to trap you. They even told us, we were interviewed by someone, a psychological evaluator, to evaluate our fitness as parents. And we went in naively trying to just be so bright and chipper and cheerful. The lady was so bright. She was just kind and loving. I mean, she was just as sweet as Christmas pudding. And she writes the report a month later and completely stabbed us in the back, twisted everything out of proportion. Her only statement that she could make is, well, this little girl appears to be well-adjusted, and she appears to be normal. But surrounded by that were pages and pages and pages against our Christianity, how we teach absolutes and what's wrong with us, and, you know, all of this.
Oh, yeah, all over the country they take people's children because they're Christian, and they say that it's a cult. As Janet Reno said on 60 Minutes over a decade ago, she said, if you believe in the second coming of Christ, you are a cult member.
Right, and that's the bottom line. And that's why, even for homeschooling, it's not about academics, or whether you're socialized well. Everybody knows homeschoolers do incredibly well. I mean, I had never had a problem getting a job. Now I run my own business. And it's not about socialization. It's about we teach absolutes. We teach
Listen,
that right and
the
wrong.
High schools, especially in Dallas, then when I moved here for the last couple of years of high school, was way more wild than college. I mean, it was drugs everywhere, and I wasn't into drugs, but they were just everywhere. It was sex everywhere. It was materialism. I mean, I would never put my children in public school after what I witnessed. And they're just horrible. They're absolutely bottom of the barrel, horrible. And I went to a middle class high school. I mean, I can't imagine. I mean, I taught people that have gone to this high school in New York and places being robbed, being beat up. You know, you hear the stories people like Howard Stern tells of being beat up every week at school and people taking his lunch money. I mean, that's what goes on. And then if you're not a wimp, you end up fighting back, and then you go to jail for it. I mean, I remember many times somebody would attack me in the parking lot or at an event, and I'd fight back, and the cops pull up, and the other guy's, you know, knocked out on the ground with blood coming out their nose, and the cops go, well, you're going to jail. And then you have to get witnesses and go through the court process. I mean, it's horrible. It's horrible. And, like I said, I was 11, 12, 13, getting beat up all the time. When I started fighting back, which is the only thing you can do, then you go to jail for it. I never got convicted of anything because my dad had some money and could get lawyers. But, cops a lot of times wouldn't care. They'd say, yeah, this guy attacked Alex. You know, there's five witnesses. They're like, we don't care. You're going to jail. Now, one time, some 25-year-old ex-con who the police knew and didn't like started a fight at a house party with me, and I mean, I was fighting for my life, and I beat him bad because he was beating me up bad. I mean, I hurt him fierce. And when they were loading him in the ambulance, they said, we need to take you to the hospital too, or we're going to have to take you to jail. I'm like, well, I'm beat up a little bit. And they said, you got to go. okay, or you're going to go to jail, you understand? So they, at least in that one case, the cops acted properly because the witnesses told them what happened. Continue with the callers that are patiently holding and get more into Obama's announcement of all these big tax increases he's going to push, which will do nothing to reduce the deficit. You've got to uncouple from the private Federal Reserve, the dollar devaluation, and the thousand-plus trillion that they've gotten our nation to sign on to. Martin, Charles, Josh, Chris, your calls are coming up, but I wanted to hit some financial news. Gold gains 1.2 closes in on record high. Gold raises 1% as silver surges on weak dollar. That's Reuters. Strong dollar downbeat. Data keep gold steady. Wall Street Journal. Gold silver prices pop as stocks sag. Those are just some of the headlines today. Here's Market Watch. Gold up 1.2%, closing in on record high. Here's another one out of Reuters. Gold raises over 1%, and silver surged on Thursday as a combination of dollar weakness, inflation worries, and renewable Greek sovereign debt worries lifted bullion to below $5 in its record high. And by the way, Tim was in here with my Red Book. I finally got a new copy of it. We asked Tim to bring me the Red Book because it was in here yesterday, and I wanted to cover it today, and it's been taken. A coin book, because I'm trying to really learn more about this myself because I get so many questions from listeners. But I wanted to bring Ted Anderson up here to talk about what's happening in the market. We've got the BRIC group, China, India, Russia, Brazil, and others saying end the dollar hegemony. We've got over the weekend at Bretton Woods 2 in New Hampshire. We've got Soros saying the dollar is already being phased down and is no longer the world reserve currency. I had a big McClatchy / London Guardian reporter and PhD economist on. He was thinking this is a good idea, thinking it'll bring back more manufacturing as the dollar lowers. But these countries are already so far below us with their currency value, I don't see that happening. And many economists agree with me on that front. I wanted to get your take on that. But I wanted to get today's offer out of the way because I didn't have a chance to talk to you a lot before you came on during the break. I just knew I wanted to get you back on today. You've been running some radio specials on gold francs out of Europe, British sovereigns out of, obviously, England. You've been running a lot of these. Just don't worry about the book. It's fine. Just forget it, all right? Just don't worry about it, if he's gone or whatever. And going over all of this, there's so many different coins. There's numismatic versus bullion versus all of this. All I know is that when I try to go out and buy a modern silver dollar or an old silver dollar, U.S. silver dollar, they're always now between $40 and $45 a piece. And I get a lot of emails and calls on air asking me the differences, asking me what a franc is, if it's French or if it's Swiss, what's a British sovereign, what's a good deal on these. And I know people can always buy a copy of the Red Book. It's like the Kelly Blue Book for cars, but that only comes out once a year, and with gold and silver racing up, you can't tell. But soon I want to get you up for a full hour to really go over this when I have my Red Book with me. I want to get you on to really break all this down. But explain to me numismatic versus not numismatic bullion. Explain to me, say, a silver dollar from 1918 put out by the U.S. Mint versus what a silver dollar is today. And then I want to go over some of these specials because I think a lot of people can't even believe how good the deal was when you were offering a silver dollar for $31 with shipping with a $20 Creature from Jekyll Island book. I think people couldn't even understand three silver dollars with three of my best-selling DVDs and free shipping for $110. Now, I believe that is going up now. Because those silver dollars on record are selling for 40-something. You're selling them for 31 with free films and all the rest of it. So break down some of the basics. If you had 3 minutes talking to the Rotary Club to explain the basic facts of gold and silver coins that are just going up and up and up, what would you say to them?
Well, I mean, for starters, you have a lot of good questions because you're talking about numismatic bullion. What is the difference? You know, why an older coin versus a newer coin? This type of thing. You know, back when the original currency bill came out with the Coinage Act of 1792. At that time, the continental currency was falling apart, and what the United States adopted for money was the silver dollar. And the silver dollar was something that came from Spain, not from Britain, and it certainly had nothing to do with the troy ounce that we're looking at now. It has 0.78 ounces of troy ounces of silver in it, and it's 90% silver, and it's 10% copper, and the copper is there to harden the coin so you can carry it in your pocket so it wouldn't wear out. So you actually have some value in copper and you have some value in silver. So the silver dollar.
So that's a circulation coin. It's got some other metal in it, so it's not soft.
Exactly, because if you carried a 999 fine silver coin in your pocket and used it as coinage, it would be worn flat so fast as it was. The copper coins did that too, the coins with copper in them, but they lasted a lot longer.
Okay, so what are those silver coins and what are their issuance periods? Some of the ones I get from you are 1890s, 1920s. Explain to me what those are and what their current market value is, what they're selling for if somebody looks up that coin.
Well, they're going to be trading just a little bit above $40 a piece, or about $40 to $41, and that would be an older Morgan silver dollar, a piece dollar. And the neat part about that is that it doesn't have all the attachments to it, like the 60-45 ruling, revenue ruling requires that silver bars. You have to get Social Security numbers when you sell them, this type of thing. So it does have this sort of numismatic aura to it, but the neat part about it is, like you explained it last time you were on air without me, is that some of these coins in the modern age, the U.S. Silver Eagle, for example, the premiums have shot up so much that you actually get more silver for the dollar if you buy the old pre-1964 coins like the dimes, quarters, and 50-cent pieces. And that's because of the fact that for some reason the public is ignoring those, even though there's a finite supply, and the U.S. Mint can't keep up with the U.S. Silver Eagles. So the premium over spot is just simply in the wholesale market. You can't get them.
So what you're saying is, on average, you pay more for the modern 999, and that's where I get confused between all these because I've got them both, than for these old semi-numismatic silver coins.
That is exactly
but,
right.
But when I look on eBay, the old silver dollars are like $44, $45. You're saying a good deal on one is $41.
Yeah, that's exactly right, because I buy them in bulk, and a lot of people are, by the time you buy something on eBay and you get shipping and you're dealing with onesie-twosie type items, you just can't get the discounts you can like I am. I mean, the last order I placed for silver in the marketplace was well over $1 million. And, you know, so I'm dealing with these wholesalers, and I'm like, you know, I have to chisel them down, and, you know, it's like a fight all the time, you know, and nobody wants to be short or naked in the marketplace right now because the market's running up. I mean, take a look at what silver and gold are doing even today. Silver and gold have hit a peak that has never been seen before. Silver hit a high today of 41.80. Gold hit a high of 1475.40, and I can understand why people get confused and mixed up, because there's a lot of silver rounds in the marketplace right now that are made by private mints that make duplicates of the old Morgan dollar and the Peace dollar, and they stamp 999 fine on there and 1 ounce. In addition to this, there's a lot of people that like to call the silver eagle a silver dollar, which it just is not.
Yeah, that's what I tend to do, and I'm trying to learn all this. I mean, I've been studying it for years, but it's so complex. Like, I have the red book here, the one I was able to find is this year. I mean, here's an example. Some of the silver coins I bought over the years look just like these, but I didn't even look up the value of them when I got them because I was getting them at near spot. But I'm looking at silver dollars issued here, you know, that it's saying it's worth $1,700, $4,100. You know, flip the page. They've got 1843 ones. You know, the EF40s, $375. I'm looking at Variety 2 reduced diameter, 1838 motto removed, you know, $4,000, MS63. I mean, I can't even, and some of the silver dollars I get from you even look like these, but you're saying they're worth $41 and you were selling them at $31 because you bought them when silver was a lot lower because it's run up so fast. I'm looking at 1940 silver quarters that it says are worth $425. And this is the kind of stuff you can find still in circulation. People just don't know, kind of those coin hounds. So this is a whole area people need to get a Red Book and get knowledgeable, because quite frankly, I've read the Red Book over and over again, and it still just turns into a giant maze. You've got to just know how to look these up. That's why bullion is such a good thing to buy, whether it's modern or whether it's old. That's why it's good to get these semi-numismatic, you know, meaning they have some collector value, but they're right at spot price or lower, because you know that you're getting a good deal. But I mean, Ted, explain to me the incredible values of just pennies and quarters and things in here as well.
I mean, let's just put it this way. If we take a look at the dimes, which is a great example, because you can just take a dime today and compare it to what a dime is back in pre-1964, which some people will call numismatic. A pre-1964 dime right now is at, for a thousand of them, it's $3,032. Or for to break it down, you're going to pay $3 per dime. So what's happening is the value of a dime is just losing purchasing power, the copper dime against the silver
dime.
But
in here, there are some dimes that are worth thousands. What are those, limited editions?
Yeah, exactly. You're talking about, is it a rare date? Is it a rare mint mark? Has the coin been worn or used at all?
Let me ask you another question. I bought silver dollars from you because I'll just find out what's a good deal here every few months and buy a few of these, a few of those. I've got silver dollars that I bought at whatever spot was at the time from you, that, and I'll show folks a document cam shot, that have an eagle and a face and years, just like this one I'm looking at. And it's called, this one is called a 1878 double tail feathers, $3,575. So let's say 5-6 years ago, I bought one of these from you for $12 a piece. And it looks just like it, and it's the similar years, but I paid $12 or whatever spot was at the time. How can one of these coins be $3,575? Is that they put out a limited edition of double tail feathers? Just the tail feathers are different, so it has a collector value.
Right, exactly. It's a different type. The die was designed differently than the normal Morgan silver dollar at that time. So if you happen to get into that particular vintage and you have a coin that is of the quality, then you can get quite a premium for them.
And now, to be specific, if people want numismatic and extremely numismatic coins, you do have some of those. You just mainly are promoting bullion, correct?
That's right, because I think the economy is falling apart, and I think it's more important that people get more gold and silver in their hand and not rare collector pieces that carry a big premium.
But, Ted, I've talked to really wealthy people who tell me, Alex, the real way people who are really wealthy save things is they get real art that people don't know how valuable it is, small paintings, or they get collector coins that they know they got a good deal on, because there are, gold coins, silver coins. One guy explained it to me and pulled it up online. There are some pennies that are worth $1 million a piece that you could sell in any country, and you could go right through an airport and they wouldn't know you had $10 million in your pocket with 10 pennies.
Yep, that's right. That's right, exactly right. And to have old rarities like that, there's a value there. There's grading surfaces. There's a market for them. It's liquid. It's a good way to go for the average guy that's looking at surviving this crisis that we have coming on. I would suggest that you stick closer to melt value if you have a lot of extra money and you want to try buying some of these collector coins. Absolutely, we carry them. But I would suggest if you're going to get started, I would set up what I call a core position. And a great way to get into that core position is to buy these old survival bags. And when I said 3 dimes to 1, it's not. It's 30 dimes to 1. That's how much the value of the currency has gone down. And, so you can get these older dimes, and you actually get to buy the older dimes price per ounce on its silver content for less than what you would pay for a current U.S. silver eagle, because the market has gone so high on those. In addition to this, the supply is dried up. It's not even hardly available. It's surprising to me that I can even buy old junk bags. I mean, the Pittman Act back in 1980, they melted most everything off, the silver dollars and everything. So
the dimes that slipped through or got kept in the attic that then get sold into the market. Now, Ted, we're almost out of time here, but explain to me, what is a, say, 1932, because I know I've got a little group of those in the 1930s, British Sovereign. Now, I bought those from you at spot prices But then I went and looked them up, and they, the very coins I have higher prices listed because they do have a numismatic value. But then you're able, I guess, to get them at bullion prices, so you sell them at bullion prices. But what is, say, a, you know, in good condition, 1933, I know it's at the top of your head, British sovereign, you know, with the Queen of England on it.
Right,
or I
now,
guess
that
has a king on it.
Currently, right now, 399. It's just under 400. Of course, I have that on a special right now. Actually, the price is over 400 on my website. That's because the market's gone up. I've held the prices back just like I usually do.
And is that a fifth of an ounce? How much is in one of those?
It's just under a fifth of an ounce. And off the top of my head, let's see if I can just pull it up here real quick. I'll tell you what exactly the weight.
Well, the point is they can call the brokers and find all this out. That's why they need to call them to get the specifics. Now, let's get back to the big, big special that everybody loves. I haven't asked you in the 1 minute I had before you went live. What is the price now of the three silver dollars? That's the right name for them?
Yeah, they're okay. Silver dollars. They're real silver dollars. I mean, these are the constitutional silver dollars that we used to be able to exchange our silver certificates for.
Okay, so you've got the silver dollars that you're saying in the market normally sell right now about $41. I looked it up. They're actually more than that, but you're lowballing it. You've got three of these, three of my films, and free shipping. How much is it?
It's $115 delivered right now. I raised it $5 because I had to. But
okay,
that
okay.
Still
in
is.
The market, three of these, 40, 40, 40, that would be $120. So there's a discount there, then the free shipping, then the three films, $60 value. That is an extremely good deal on those.
It is, absolutely. I mean, right now there's no way I could sell you one for the price of one of these. That's $38 for one. And now you're getting the videos along with it, plus also it covers the postage to you. Alex, I lose money on these deals. I mean, I'm just... You know, I don't want to stop people from getting your films. You know, there's just so many people that are taking advantage of this. In addition to this, now everybody that ordered even a week ago is looking at silver, knowing that they just secured away, you know, silver, and it's up higher in price now. And I don't think that's going to end. I mean, we are seeing the consequences of Washington, D.C. running a printing press like nobody's business, and the Federal Reserve meddling with an economy, bailing out everybody in the entire world, us entering into a new war. I mean, there's just so much going on right now.
Well, Ted, let me give people the toll-free number. It's 800-686-2237. 800-686-2237 is the toll-free number to call, and the brokers, they're the experts. They can answer all your questions. If you want collector coins, they got them. If you want modern bullion, if you want older bullion, if you want buffaloes, if you want all of those coins, they're there, 800-686-2237. But the radio specials, I go to Ted and I say, what is the absolute best deal? That's what we offer here. It's what I think is the best deal. And Ted agrees with me, and he's the real expert, so I go with him. These are the best deals. 800-686-2237. And while you're at it, Ted, you still got Red Books in stock, or do you sell out of those?
Well, I'm sold out, but I'll get more. Ask if you want them.
800-686-2237. More calls straight ahead.
Waging war on corruption. Alex Jones on the GCN Radio Network.
All right, let's rampage through some quick calls here. Martin in Florida, you're on the air. Welcome.
Hey, Alex, how you doing today, sir?
Good. Welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for being so diligent throughout the years. First, I got a few points to bring up and a couple quick questions. I'll try to make it fast. First thing is, besides the aspartame, I don't know if you know about the acesulfame and the phenylalanine that's in a lot of the food products, especially the gums and the diet drinks.
Yes, very bad for you. I've got CBS News and CNN admitting that they're allowed to put silicone in many products, including Chicken McNuggets.
Yes, definitely. That's what helped me with getting my kids completely organic. Some of the health problems that those other products cause. Another thing, I won't mention the other radio show, but somebody brought up the fact about HAARP over when all the birds over Arkansas fell out of the sky, and they got proof that with the ripple in the sky and the clouds. I'm an avid fisherman down here in South Florida, and we have something that's called mackerel skies, and it's due to the ripple when the fronts come through, it makes the mackerels jump up, and or get active, I should say, or bite. The skies, they chemtrail down here quite a bit. My kids notice it. They know the bad chemicals and all this. And there's proof that they were using the HAARP. And if you think about it, what else would make all these birds drop out of the sky at one time?
Well, there's also a poison called Starling's side that we saw at the time, but the way that everybody reported the birds basically all fell at once and their insides were pulverized. The state veterinarians and then locals also tested them and did not find the starling side. There were some mass bird die-offs last year that were connected to that, even though its use is reportedly restricted. So who knows? Who knows? A big mystery. I think it's hard to say 100% we know Harp did it. I saw some of the radar images of this big red cell right over it, but that could also have been an intense storm. I don't know. You know, there's so many things I can't really speculate on, but thank you, Martin. Charles in Detroit, you're on the air. Welcome, Charles. Just dropped off. I wanted to hear what they had to say about the CPS SWAT teaming. Josh in Arkansas, you're on the air. Hey, Josh. Okay, when it rains, it pours. Chris in Wisconsin, you're on the air.
I'm here, Alex.
Welcome.
Good to speak to you, my friend, again. A couple ideas for you. First of all, I have an eBay store, and at the top of every one of my listings, I have a dose of truth, Infowars.com. And my postings are seen by, you know, 1 to 300 people a piece, so...
Listen, every person you reach with a message of liberty is incalculable in the aggregate when everybody's doing it. A lot of folks write on the Federal Reserve notes. A lot of people, you know, put stickers on their cars. A lot of people start their own blog or website. We also have this little widget at the bottom of Infowars.com where you can just place a player on your site, and we've got different sizes of it, where people can see it. No, I want to check out that radio show. I mean, but again, I'm not the end-all be-all. It's just all of us in an effort against tyranny.
I also put the same thing on my postings on bulletin boards, and also, it's also my signature on text. And that's a couple of, just an idea for new people that are trying to figure out something they can do. And another thing we can do, I saw the success of the Google bomb yesterday. We have similar tastes in music, and a song I think you've overlooked is Talking About a Revolution by Tracy Chapman. And maybe if we could start a YouTube type thing, make that the number one song on a video on YouTube, Talking About a Revolution by Tracy Chapman. It's a 20-year-old song.
Classic. Well, I'm out of time, but that's a great idea, and I appreciate your call. Good to hear from you, and I'm sorry to the other callers. I'll be back live tomorrow, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. Central. The retransmission's coming up where I break down Obama's speech and all these new tax increases they're announcing, and will this fix the deficit? Well, I break it down. It absolutely will not. It'll give the bankers more power. They are the problem, their fractional reserve banking system. By the way, we did make one of the search terms number one, but they censored, it looks like, the TSA terms. We're going with a very simple TSA search term today. Let's make it number one. Don't forget to Google bomb TSA lies. TSA lies. TSA lies.